We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to Get Your Popcorn Ready Podcast. This is your host, Hatch, with my boy.
Get
off the phone, chump. It's time to go to work. You know what I'm saying?
Get your popcorn ready.
We are speeding into the episode today.
Like how speeding, because you know what I'm saying?
Because we got a speedster here, Allison Felix. The legend is in the building.
He excites himself with play on words, you know what I'm saying? Absolutely.
So we're talking about speed today. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate you. You know, I know you ain't doing nothing. You retired now, so you chilling every day, waking up at 12 o'clock eating Cinnabon every day. Is that how we doing it, right?
Not quite.
But what is that like? Obviously, like I said, to reach the heights that you've reached, obviously Olympic winner, gold medalist. I mean, like, what has that transition been like now to, like, not have to get up on an everyday basis, right, knowing, like, as an athlete, you've been training, yeah, and for the biggest, like, I wish I could have been in the Olympics.
On
it's so crazy.
Stage,
like,
wow,
there's a lot of great athletes that play football, but we never reach the Olympics where
the
you get
world
to represent your country.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's strange. I'm only like 4 months into this retirement, so I need all the gyms. But
no comebacks? No comebacks?
No comebacks.
No?
They went on do that in track, right?
Yeah, I mean, no. I'm not going to do it. But I'm trying to find my way. Like, right, I love that I can be present at home. You know, I mm-hmm. love spending time with my daughter. Like, it's incredible, but it is strange not to have the structure of my day, you know, not to start
right
my day with, like, mm-hmm. you know, training and the 5 hours and putting all that in. And right, I love that I already have, you know, all my next things. So my day is full and it's all busy, but it's still, you know, I love to run. I love right to train. Right. So I'm like, you know, figuring out, like, what does that, how am I staying active and what does that look
right
like?
No, right. Now, your daughter named Cameron, right?
Yes.
So again,
yeah,
what does she, you know, feel like having mommy around all the time now?
Oh, I mean, she loves it. I mean, right, she knows no difference, you know? Right. I mean, everything is, it's her world.
Yeah,
just,
absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So it's, but it is fun, like, you know, making sure I'm present, like dropping her off at school and mm-hmm. I can come to like some of the things at the school. So we're having fun.
That's awesome.
Are you looking, are you looking to the day that you can get on the track and probably groom her? Because I'm already knowing when you have kids, you kind of want them to go along the path that we once had.
I wouldn't be mad if she did something else. Like,
no?
She's about to start tennis lessons.
Okay, yes.
So, like, she's played a little soccer. So I'm trying to push her.
Okay,
like,
Queen Richard.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't be mad at it. But
right,
I'm trying to keep her away from the track as long as I can.
Right.
And, you know, I think she's grown up, like, watching me train and,
right,
you know,
right,
all that. So it might be hard, but right, there's some other things
right
I'd like her to
no
do.
No, of course, you've been on the track for years upon years, so you've seen how athletes are built, right? Knowing she's four right now,
yeah, she's
so
four.
Is she starting to kind of be built like a track
girl? She's quick, like,
okay,
yeah,
okay.
She's quick. She's I'm seeing some little athleticism in her,
right,
so
right,
okay,
yeah, we'll see.
Full three,
okay,
we're gonna have
okay
a run in the 40. She ain't gonna run
okay
the 400,
okay,
yeah. I don't want to do that to her,
right.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
You see her as like a, I know it's kind of early to tell, but sometimes parents, they can see and they kind of know. Like, do you think she's that 200 or she's the 400
or the 800?
We just have I would tell.
Her jeans would push her into the sprint. So I think that was safe to say that she would be in the sprints. But we'll see how it unfolds.
Okay. So you started out when you were younger, right? But you didn't, again, grow up running at 5 or 6 or 7. Because now they have these track clubs where kids are out there 4 or 5 years old learning how to run, right? But you didn't start until your high school career?
Yeah. So that wasn't my experience at all. I literally, like, stumbled into track. My first love was basketball, and I wanted that to, like, be my thing, but it was quickly apparent that it wasn't going to...
You can't shoot?
No, it wasn't going to work out.
You know what it was? You're probably running too fast on your layups, and then it just bounced off.
It was something. It wasn't it. So I went out for the track team because I was at a new school, and my parents and my brother were like, you should just go out to, like, meet people. And so that's how I was introduced to the sport, and then... once I got out there, I was like, oh, I like to win.
Right.
Like,
okay. The competitor in you came out.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. I think it was the fact that, like, right away you could know who was the fastest. Like, you know, you run this 100, you got a winner. It's nothing subjective. Right. And then I did find my friends and it became my thing.
So take us back to this first day of track. Cause I feel you. It's like, in track, it's easy, right? You put 2 people or 5 people or 10, the person who comes in first is the fastest, right? So take us back to that moment of, okay, your first day of practice. Like, who was it? Did you go beat a senior? Did you go beat somebody who was already going to state?
Yeah.
Like, what was that first day?
Because my first experience at track, it wasn't none of that. All I remember, my lungs burning.
Burning, right.
And I wasn't ready to compete and do nothing.
Well, the good thing was the first day, they were doing 60-meter dashes. So that's all they were doing.
Okay.
And I came straight from basketball. So I had my Gary Payton glove shoes on. I had, my baggy shorts. And and I was like, okay, like, let's see what this is about. And my high school, we had a dirt track. So
top tennis shoes on a dirt track.
Oh, dirt track. So the coach had everybody running 60 meters. And so I started out, I did that. And then he had kind of like a puzzled look on his face. And he was like, you know, I'm going to need you to do that again.
Right. I don't believe what I'm seeing.
Yeah. And then he's kind of looking at his watch. And then he brings out like the measuring wheel. And so then he measures it and has me do it again. So we go back and forth with that. And then he finally kind of pulls me to the side.
That is hilarious.
He's like, you've run before, where'd you come from? Right. And then it was like, he saw that I had potential. And from there on,
it's a wrap. Yeah. Wow. Again, because you don't need to see nothing else. Like you said, I measured it. Okay, it is 60. Okay, she is beating everybody. You on the team.
Yeah, you just been running away with the competition ever since.
Yeah, it was kind of a whirlwind since then.
So I want to know what it's like to represent your country. Because I've watched the Olympics. And then as a football player, it's like I alluded to earlier, it's like, there's so many great football and greatest of all time, but we never really got to represent on
the world
that
stage.
Type of stage.
Yeah.
What is that like? Because I mean, you see, like I said, you're there, you train 4 years leading up to this one moment.
Yeah.
And you used the word stumbled earlier. This is something and where you can't stumble out of the blocks.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah.
What is that? Because I see the emotions. I know, like I said, even just standing just regular games, like we're standing up for the national anthem, I mean, you have people singing, you move to with emotion.
Yeah.
What is that like?
I mean, it's a huge honor, and you feel kind of the weight of it. Like, once you get there, you know, you go through the opening ceremonies and just like all the procedure, like everything.
The build up,
yeah,
the hype.
Which is so much.
Right.
But it is, I mean, you do feel that as well, that the world takes notice every 4 years. You know, we don't have a game every week, you know, so the weight of it is very heavy and you know that like this is your opportunity to perform. Mm-hmm. And that can be a lot, you know, for me, my first couple Olympics, they weren't what I wanted them to be. And it took like the experience, you know, to kind of put it all together.
Right.
But yeah, it's this huge honor, but also at the same time, it is a huge weight as well.
Right.
When you say it wasn't the experience that you wanted it to be, what does that mean?
Yeah, well, I got silver medals in both of the first and second Olympics, what I wanted.
That's what we wanted to hear.
It wasn't gold.
I want that gold.
Exactly.
That was a problem.
And that shows you the ambition and the drive.
The competitiveness.
That you have. Because some people reaching the Olympics, I mean, not for everybody. Silver is good.
Yeah, you know, no, absolutely.
They're satisfied with silver.
Yeah.
They're satisfied, but you want to satisfy.
Yeah, I think it's just, you know, it's that different mindset. And not to get it wrong, like I was very, you know, grateful and a huge honor to be there and all of that. But I definitely had that drive to win a gold medal. Like that's what I wanted to do. That's what I had trained for. And I think it is hard when you are an Olympian and the world is taking notice every 4 years. You train 4 years for me, it was like a 21 second race.
Absolutely.
And that's like, that's crazy, you know? So to have that feeling of disappointment when it doesn't come together and know that it's not going to be till another 4 years, which you get another shot at it, it's a lot to handle.
So when you're standing on that podium, right, silver in hand, the feeling, is it disappointment? Is it upset? Is it, let me just get back and train tomorrow? Like, what's that feeling like at
I mean,
the
it
very
was
moment?
Different at each one. At my first one, you know, I was 18 years old and it was definitely disappointment, but my parents like very quickly let me know like the perspective, like, you know, and then it turned into being very grateful.
Right.
And then the second one, that was when it was really hard because I was the favorite, you know, I had been labeled like this phenom and, you know, I was like embarrassed that it did not come together. And I just felt like I wanted to just disappear, you know.
So what happened? Why didn't you get gold in your mind?
Ooh, I think it was a number of different things. I think I was, you know, I was, so I was at USC at the same time. I was like navigating this world of being a professional, being a student, and just figuring all of that out. And I think I just had a lot on my plate and I didn't know quite how to manage it. And I think as I got older, then I was able to like put my team together and then I could focus on, you know, what I do, that, and that's the running part. And I don't have to worry about any of the other part of it. But I think what happened is just like, you know, I got beat. Like,
You got beat.
You know, I was racing Veronica Campbell Brown. She had an amazing race. And I don't think,
there's nothing different you could have did to win that race at that moment.
At that moment,
Yeah, because I mean, that's the reality of it sometimes. As we were talking earlier, like sometimes you feel like you can be the best prepared and the best shape of your life and still come up second, come up short. And like I said, as a, you know, obviously going from an 18-year-old, obviously now you're trying to process that, then that's a lot to deal with. Now, okay, you come up short again. What is that mental process like? Because again, like I said, you can either, you know, clam up or that can either drive
it's not for
you,
me.
Drive you even further to go more. You felt like you had more, or did you feel at that point, now that we know, did you feel like, okay, you had maxed out, you had reached your peak?
Yeah, it took me a while to kind of like process it. I definitely felt like I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure, like, is this ever going to come together for me? And so I went through a pretty hard time after that Olympics. And then the switch kind of went off and it was like, okay, how can I look at every single thing? How can I get better? How can I change things? And the fire was really lit. And now looking back, I think that was probably like the single most defining moment of my career because that was a turning point for me.
Wow, that part of your career, right? Defining, like, who was in your life at that time to kind of help you through that process?
Yeah. So my coach, my longtime coach, Bobby Kersey, he led me through that. At that time, I switched my management. My brother started managing me, and that was huge for us. And my training group, you know, my family, I had a lot of support. And I think, you know, that support that they can see the vision even when you can't, you know, when you're you know,
because you're deep
it.
In. You're knee deep in.
Right. Yeah. So you transition, you switch trainers.
I didn't switch. I stayed with Bobby, but we just looked at everything.
Okay.
Give
us some details. Take us down to the nitty gritty of some things that you switch up.
Bob has coached a number of great athletes, including yourself. What's so unique about him that can really get out of you that obviously you probably didn't think, you know, if you switched to someone else, that couldn't have gotten it out of you?
I mean, he knows how to push you. He's demanding. He demands excellence when you step on his track. Like, he's old school. He's gotten softer.
As the years,
I tell him
as
now.
The years,
I'm
really?
Like,
Bye.
Bobby, that would not, like, that would not fly. No.
I'm like, why are you letting him do that? Yeah, yeah.
But back in my day, before then, yeah, just, you know, he knows how to push you to a place where you don't believe you can go yourself. And I think also just what makes him a great coach is, you know, he cares about you and how you progress on the track, but he also cares about you as a person and he listens to you and all of that. So, yeah, but during that experience, we just looked at everything. We looked at the way that we were training and we went back to just really like ballistic sprint work. We looked at, you know, how can we just, I'm a sprinter and I just go hard all the time. And we changed the strength program and my nutrition. And we just started to like tinker with things.
Right. What's some examples of the speed work you were doing that you changed? Like more hundreds and 150s or more like 300s, 400s?
Right. Because as a track guy, I mean, a track person, female athlete, and then just a guy that understands and watch track. Sometimes like what you do, the back end is just as important as the front end. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so we went from, I mean, Bobby coaches where you're going to do a lot of, like, conditioning. You're going to do a lot of stuff you don't want to do.
Right.
So a lot of the longer stuff. But we really brought in a lot of the short sprinting back to it. Okay. And I started to run the 100 more. And, you know, that's something that I hadn't really done. And really focused on that and how can we really improve that, you know, in order to just improve me as an athlete as a whole.
So probably more 40-yard dashes y'all should have did. Work on that turnover.
Sure.
So take us to the 2016. I know that was a very weird race and time. Mm. You guys, the fumbled baton, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
As you guys going through that, then you had the race again with nobody else on the track.
Yeah.
Still came back to win it. So how... Take us through that process of
it was a strange Olympics. We were running the 4x1. I was running second leg. And in the preliminary round, like it's generally, you know, pretty uneventful. You just kind of, you know, you're moving on. Yeah, you're just qualifying. And when I was running, I started to feel, I think it was the outside runner, kind of like approaching into me. Mm-hmm. And as I got closer to the handoff, she actually bumped me. And it bumped the baton out of my hand. And that's like the worst thing, you know.
You never drop the baton. You can't go nowhere without that thing.
Nowhere. So, but being at this time, you know, a vet and kind of just knowing the rules, I kind of scrambled to get the baton because I knew that you can't appeal a situation unless you finish the race. And so we grabbed the baton, we got it through, and then the appeal went through. Mm-hmm. And now they have cameras everywhere, so they were able to see the footage of what happened. Right. But we still had to qualify because we needed a time. So they had us come back a couple hours later, empty track, just us. Right. And we had to, you know, to qualify.
So... is that an advantage? Because as an athlete, when you have that adrenaline, you got that competition, you tend to run faster.
Absolutely.
So what factored into, obviously, you know, obviously it was a plus, an advantage, because you know the qualifying time.
Yeah.
But did you guys know that you could qualify with the times that were already posted?
Yeah, I think that was the question that we had in our minds as well. Because, you know, for running, you need people besides you to, you know, to gauge how fast you're running, how fast you're going. So I think we were a little concerned, just, you know, like, you know, we want to make sure we get this time. But it all ended up working out, and I had great teammates, and
I've seen the footage, and it just, is there any conspiracy theories that this was done on purpose? Because it was not a very athletic move forward. The chick or the female went sideways and bumped you.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but it's very awkward on how she did it, though.
Right, because you're in your lane. You got you know, to stay in your lane.
Yeah. No, I don't think it was anything, because
you've seen the footage, obviously, right?
It's been a while, but if I'm not mistaken, I think they got disqualified. So I don't think it was, I think sometimes things happen crazy in the relay. You know, like you're passing baton, it's a blind exchange. Just things can happen.
Yeah. I don't understand the sideways if the track is that way. That's what I'm looking at.
I don't know if I ever really looked back at actually at
what
she was
doing. Check that out.
Yeah.
Get her name.
Yeah, exactly.
So okay, that was and after that, of course, you guys did the male female 4x4, right? Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like, that's new to the Olympics, as asking about before.
Yeah.
So how do you like those type of new races in the Olympics?
I think they're great for like people who are not, who don't know the sport really well. I think they're a great
not
thing
your traditional
to draw.
Track fans.
Yeah, right. I think it's hard for the hardcore track fans because it's something new, right?
Right,
it's
right.
different.
Something new, right.
I love like you can see the differences between men and women,
and speed,
you know, yeah.
Sure.
And I think that's hard for some people to really. We never visually like see that,
right?
You know, pitted against each other. So I think it's fun, you
right.
know.
If there's any new event that you would want to add, what would be a new event you would want to add to the Olympics?
Probably the shuttle hurdles.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I think
shuttle
that's
hurdles,
yeah,
the back and
hurdles,
forth,
back and forth, yeah,
really,
yeah. They
That'd
run it sometimes at like pen relays and things like that.
Okay,
but,
wow. I've never seen.
I mean,
it.
Let's give some love to like some of the hurdlers
yeah.
and some of the
hey,
other.
The hurdles
we have
so
a lot of
for me.
Yeah,
man,
relay
you're talking about obstacles,
stuff.
Man. I mean,
yeah,
it's an obstacle just to run track in itself, but now you got to jump over something,
I mean,
and
yeah.
now you
got to
turn the other direction. Yeah,
what?
That's tough.
I know that's not for me.
It ain't for us. So again, enjoying the retirement. So what's your number one thing on your plate? I know you have the clothing. Is it the clothing line or just as a brand?
Yeah, Aisha? Lifestyle brand for women. Saish.
Saish.
Yeah. So we do.
And
footwear.
How we spell that again?
Saysh.
Saysh.
Yes.
Saish. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right.
Yeah. So that's my main thing right now, and
okay.
I'm really enjoying it. Super passionate about it. It's a company all about mission. You know, we mm-hmm. create footwear that fits the form of a female foot.
Mm-hmm.
And the company started out of, started organically. You know, I went through a really hardship time with my former sponsor, not being supported through my pregnancy the way that I hoped that I would have been.
Wow.
And I was left without a shoe sponsor.
Wow.
And so I got to the point where I was just
do it myself.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah. Yeah, it was unfortunate.
Right.
But it's a blessing.
Because one door closes, you know
yeah.
how we do. One
yeah.
door closes.
Yeah,
another
I ended
one
up where I was supposed to be.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, it's filling my time. I love it, you know, everything that we get to create and get to put out in the world.
Right.
And
give us some things you're creating. Is it just shoes or is it going to be hoodies and joggers?
It's just shoes right now.
Just shoes?
Yeah,
okay.
Shoes. We have a few accessories that are like scarves and anklets and things like that.
Okay.
But we have a running shoe coming in the next year in the fall. So I'm really excited about that.
Okay.
Is it just for women or is this
yeah,
men?
Yeah, so this is, they're for
okay,
women.
Yes, they okay. Got
knit.
For
no, because I like to wear girls' clothes.
We don't have your
you
size
got,
quite
you know
yet.
No, I'm fashion forward, homie. You know, I like to support women. That's the thing I like to support.
That.
I'm just thinking about supporting
yes.
your brand. That's all.
And
I'm
we
doing.
Have a
now
lot
you,
of
you coming at me all sideways.
Hey, this
you know
dude,
I'm mean? Trying to support. You know what I mean?
Black,
you know what
this
mean?
Dude
black
go
business.
Put on a wig and a heartbeat. Yeah. Don't listen to that.
Man.
Make a
Saisha
wig.
And then
for
you know
what
I've
saying?
Been talking to a couple of track guys. They've been wanting to get me out there on the track. So if you had some track shoes, I'm gonna like put them things on and represent Allison Felix. You know what I mean?
Saisha right here.
Yeah, this is Saisha.
Can we get a close up on the?
Okay, I like the colorway.
I like the colors. I like.
Bottom.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
right. Yeah. So I got to compete in my brand in the Olympics, and so yeah,
was that's a
what
first.
Better?
It was
Wait,
a first.
That's
yeah.
a first.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was like you said. You know, you go through a hard, difficult thing, and it brings you to somewhere where you're supposed to be, and it's been amazing to get to see. You know. this in the world and just that women deserve better.
Right. Now, are you the designer? Just like, okay, once they feel good, y'all go ahead and do the rest. Like, how are you part of the team? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we have an incredible design team and a whole group of people who, you know, work on this. And I love that it's a diverse group, but it's designed for and by women. So really some amazing product engineers. And
so you just come in and put the colors.
So what input? What input do you have?
So I touch all points of the business, but I do all the wear testing, you know, things like that. And then I'm everything outward facing, you know, I'm promoting.
Okay.
Now the accessories and the anklets and stuff like that, is this for track when you're on the track, or is this just for everyday
wear? No, so this is just, we're a lifestyle. So we really want to meet women where they are. So it's not just for athletes at all. It's for your everyday woman.
Nice. Okay, yeah. Well, get Saysha. Awesome. Now, where can they find Saysha at?
Yeah, so Saysha's at saysh.com. Okay. We're also in Foot Locker. We're at Kith. And yeah, we have an exclusive partnership as well with Athleta with some exclusive colorways. Awesome. And yeah, they're a sponsor of mine as well. And they've invested in the business.
As soon as you can get some size 12, we're going to go ahead and rock them.
So who's the next Allyson Felix?
The next Allyson Felix. I think we have so much amazing talent in the sport. Sydney McLaughlin is doing so well.
Yes, Sydney. Yeah. She's awesome.
Yeah, we have Anna Hall in the multis, Athing Mo in the 800 meters. Shelly Ann is still going strong. Shelly Ann Fraser-Price. Yep. So she's still doing her thing. So there's a lot of just incredible talent.
Right. So are we going to win? Was it 20? Was the next Olympics?
Is it 2024? And then 2028 is
right here at home in LA, Los Angeles.
Yeah, homeboy. Yeah. I'm up on it. And you ain't going to get up on it.
It's on Google. Yeah. It ain't hard. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, that's why they're making all those changes at the airport, if you haven't noticed, to get ready for the influx of traffic that's about to come through, which
would be major.
Huge. Yeah.
So again, speaking of locations, right? Went right here to at USC, went to college, right? Big USC football fan, are you as well?
Yeah, I grew up here, you know, born and raised, and so I went to USC, my brother, my dad, so we have, you know, we have
it's all in the family. Yeah. Y'all just kept it right here, huh?
So a superstar athlete on the female perspective, will there ever be a Division I football female playing?
Oh,
you think from good. Again because we've in high school they're doing a lot more.
Yeah,
more females playing, right? Of course, flag football is huge now. They have scholarships at major universities for female flag football, and there's got some girls who can run, obviously. But do you think that we'll ever get to the point where there's going to be someone good enough, talented enough, big enough to also play college football as a female?
That's an interesting question. I think time will have to tell you know, just starting out now. You know, I think there's a lot of development that would have to happen. I'm sure there's a lot of complexities to that as well, just with the sheer nature of, you know,
the sport,
grown men, you know, and and women and just those differences. But I love that women are getting more opportunities, you know, outside of the box. And, you know, it's really cool to see.
So being at USC, did any football player ever challenge you on the track and you dusted them? Like, you got to have one. I know somebody out there. I feel like a lot of
people challenged me, but we never actually raced. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They chickened out.
You sound like Brandon Marshall. You sound like Brandon Marshall. He's challenged me, but he hasn't lined up yet. He hasn't shown up.
So, there were some track guys back then, though, that actually, like, you know, Reggie, we're the same year, so he
He's quick.
You know, people who know track and understand and can appreciate it.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, we had Justin Gatlin on.
So we
were trying to brew something up, you know, I think a couple of years ago, I think around the pandemic and shortly after, we were trying to get a 4x100.
I want to see that.
Not 4x4. That's too much for my lungs.
4x1.
Yeah. And then we tried to do just four, like whomever, like retired or whatever guys that, you know, that he knows. And then we're going to get like four fast football guys.
Oh, you guys got to do this.
Well, we were trying to get
it
done.
Who do you think would win?
We were trying to get it done.
Two professional track girls, four football players.
Okay, so initially it was just all guys. Then we implement, two girls, two guys to do
two track girls and two football guys. Mm-hmm.
No, four football guys
versus
two professional track girls and two professional track guys.
Right.
Oh.
Because I think,
I mean, if you have, if there's like the top tier ones, yeah, I'm going to go with the track squad.
You think so?
Me too.
Yeah. We got some speed over
but
here.
But I mean, it's all about the matchup of who are we talking about.
Right. Yeah, exactly. So yeah. I don't
but
think we have anybody that's
really. But it's fun to watch.
Right.
Be fun to watch.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's not, I don't think anybody like active. Like, yo, we don't.
You would need Tyreek.
You don't really have no chance.
You would need a couple of Tyreek.
Like some guys like
four football guys and four track guys.
Yeah, four track guys. Like, they're like kind of at the end of their career, but they still got speed. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I'm going to be a realist. Like, we wouldn't probably have no chance against some guys that are like, you know, they smoking. You know, they bringing
it's
that heat.
Different type of speed.
Yeah.
Anybody
but
you
yeah,
I know
I'm
we
have,
now we, like, trust me, I
it's
want
to. Come together.
Yeah,
before
get
I get too
back.
Old. I'm 49. I can still move for
I
my
saw
age.
You, yeah.
I can move for my age. Like I said, you can't go too much further.
You ain't lying,
but
where
I can move, I want to be able to do it. I want to do it. And it's just something like when I get on that track, like, it's different. Like when you put on those track shoes, like it's
different
like
speed.
You feel bouncy. Yeah, like you feel like you can like scat.
Well, I know.
You know what I mean?
It's true.
You ever got down in the blocks and was like, I'm kind of scared of somebody? Or were you always the most confident? Like when you're in the blocks, I'm about to dust who anybody who's in the blocks with me.
I think it's always, I've definitely had moments of like where I doubted myself or didn't feel as confident for sure. I think it always just depended on like what, you know, you never feel like 100%. Like there's always like something.
And that's
something,
good to hear the what from if a goal scenario. Yeah. Like yourself. Right. Because some people, like especially parents and just kids that are growing up, I mean, they feel like, okay, they see us and we make it look so effortless.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they're never in the minds of us at that very moment.
Oh, yeah.
So again, I think it's good to hear people like yourself that have been at the height of your careers and to understand like what the magnitude of the sport is and what really goes into the preparation. Because we sometimes like that's natural, human nature.
Yeah.
To have, you know, self-doubt sometimes.
For sure.
You just can't let it creep too far.
Yeah, can't
inside.
Let it take over. But I always felt like confident in my preparation. Like when my preparation is on and there's been no interruption, you know, no injury, then, you know, it's good because you've done the work. It's like the race is the fun part, like the training, all that. That's where it comes together. So I think like when I had those moments of doubt, it's like whether something has gone wrong where I haven't felt like I've been able to give everything that I could.
What's the hardest race you've ran? Like preparing for, like, what's the hardest? Like, you were like, I got to be ready for this. I can call it overtraining if you want, but like, I was overtraining.
Yeah,
for this
you got to find that balance of, like I said, you had a tough coach, you know what I mean? Bob Kirsten, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, as an athlete, too, you know your body. He's not in you. I mean, he knows, but you're trying to find that balance of, like, what's too much and what's, you know, can I back off a little bit?
Yeah.
You know?
I would say my toughest, I mean, I think there's a lot of different ones, but the Olympic trials, this last Olympics, you know, that was my first one as a mother, like coming back from that whole ordeal. And, and then also being older and just like, it just felt different a little bit, you know, like the preparation. I couldn't do all of the same things that I did when I was, you know, really in my prime. Mm-hmm. And I think like having to put all that together and then the weight of like all the drama with the shoe company and, you know, I was running in my own shoes, like all the outside thing. I think that was the hardest for me.
And again, it goes back to the mental though.
Oh yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's what people don't understand. They say physical and it's athlete, you know, versus athlete. Like, no, it's mental versus mental.
Absolutely.
Right. You
know?
And you spoke of something just recently, just in your statement about injuries. I've never known you to have any injuries. What factored into, obviously, and we talked about on another show about longevity.
Yeah.
What factored into, you know, you not being injured?
Yeah, definitely very blessed. But I tried to take care of my body. You know, my massage therapist, chiropractor, like I was very diligent about all of that, you know, making sure like I'm stretching, I'm recovering, I'm doing, you know, the ice baths and just everything that I needed to. And then I think also just like I was versatile, you know, I ran the 1, 2 and the 4.
Right.
And I think just like mixing it up and not, you know, over racing and all that, I think that played into the longevity.
Right. So, you know, when you're running, training, like we talked about it before, right? Because we're looking at it from you're in the best shape of your life. But as soon as they get done running the 400, they still fall down on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is, it's like, I know it's still exhausting, but aren't you supposed to be in good enough shape not to fall on the ground? Because you're saying the 400
right,
y'all,
I mean, my experience,
hard.
No.
Y'all be falling out like, y'all been running.
Jesus, help me.
Like, y'all been running for 2 days.
Listen, the 400 is a different beast. What I did, like, before every race, every 400 race, I'll find a spot, like, before I even go out.
Where you
gonna
lay down at?
Yes. Oh. Like no somewhere. Way. Oh, yeah. Somewhere what? That's outside of view of the camera. Somewhere.
That's where I'm
going
to be.
My people know that that's where they can find me. And because it's the lactic acid. Like it is.
Now you
if
locked
you run
up
it
at
right,
that point.
Like.
Yeah, yeah, that build up of that lactic acid is no joke.
Oh yeah.
So if you don't
it
you don't know
how in shape or not,
it doesn't even matter. Yeah. So again, because what we're trying to tell like younger athletes, until you have ran like that, like you're mm-hmm. locking up in like numerous workouts, you're really not training.
Oh yeah.
If you're just going on about your business when you're really not training for speed. Like there's a different type of training for speed.
Yeah, you have to push yourself. Like it's to a limit that you probably can't even conceive. You know,
right.
it's
something until your body goes through it.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
What would be your advice to young females and just some of the up and coming talent, and I'll just name one, Sha'Carri Richardson, that is obviously she's again trying to find her way. What would be your advice to someone like that? You know, obviously trying to, you know, like I said, get to the pinnacle of where you are and where she's going.
Yeah, I think for any, you know, young professional athlete, my advice to any of those people would just be your circle of people. I think that that's everything, you know, just that you trust those people, that they have your best interests in mind, that you can go to them in hard times, that they're going to be there for you and when everything's not up and good.
Right.
I think back to, you know, my career and at every hard point, it was leaning on someone else. You know, it's you don't do any of this stuff by yourself.
Absolutely.
So,
right. And
yeah.
Okay, for Sha'Carri, obviously she got suspended for smoking weed. Is that something that's on the banned list? I mean, there's
not on the list. Yeah, that's the confusion.
Right. And then for people that smoke weed, I'm not a weed smoker, but I'm thinking, okay, weed is not something that enhances performance.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously she got suspended because obviously it's looked at as that.
Frowned upon.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So for Olympic sports, you're subject to drug testing by USADA and WADA. And that drug testing, you have to account for everything.
You can
do that outside of competition. So as long as you're not in competition, you can. But once you're in competition, there are substances that
system,
are banned. Yeah, in and out of competition.
So it's the time of the year when you can do it.
Yeah, not even year necessarily. Like if you're competing Thursday and Friday, on Saturday, you're good. On Thursday
so
and Friday,
that's, so
you're
that's
not.
What happened. She it was in her system testing
during
time?
In competition.
Okay. So is that in her era? Era like
oh,
like
era.
That's like was that her era?
ERROR.
Oh, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because
athletes.
She should have known. Because like I said, I see the tabloids. I see social media. You know, I'm seeing the different comments about people supporting or not supporting her. Yeah, obviously there's the interpretation of the rules.
Mm-hmm.
So like that's what I'm saying, is that her era of not really being, on top of what she was supposed to be doing?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to speak for her
right.
or anything like that. And, I think athletes are at different points in their careers all the time. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of athletes who know all the rules backwards and forwards. And then there's some
right.
athletes who
right.
who don't,
Right.
So I think it's really, I think it goes back to just team, and just making
Absolutely.
Sure that even if you don't know everything, that you can rely on somebody who does and who can
it.
Just kind of, lead
Guide you.
You.
Your
yeah.
team,
yeah
your
sure,
team
sure.
better know it. Because again, it's like we look at track as an individual sport, but
yeah.
you're saying it has a lot to do with the team around you.
Absolutely. I think so. I think at every kind of point of it, like until you are, out there and walking to that line by yourself, yes, you have to do that by yourself, but everything else, you have a coach, you have a management team, you have your training partners, all
right.
these people who are there to, support and help
right.
you.
So somebody from your team, who gave you the best advice you've ever had for your track career?
Mm.
Like something that sticks with you today
yeah.
that you're going to use building Seisha, like you're going to use the rest of your life?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Right?
I'm pretty
that
sure.
is a good question.
I'm sure. Yeah, there's a number of people because you think about Bob has been there through it all. Like, he's seen you grow up.
I would say Bobby's wife, Jackie Joyner Kersee.
Jackie Joyner.
Yeah,
she was a phenom too.
Yeah. She's been a mentor to me and just has really shown me just so much of this sport. But she told me, you know, that you have to be patient, you know, and you have to like see the long game. And then also that at the end of the day, like the medals are not going to matter to you. It's going to be about the relationship. It's going to be about your joy. And I think that's something that, you know, as I've retired, I think it's resonated with me so much and just has made me appreciate so much more my experiences, because it the medals, honestly, like at the end of the day, it is that is not like that isn't my ultimate
goal,
purpose.
Right. Because again, you're the most decorated athlete ever in Olympic history. Right. So it's
we got her on Get Your Popcorn
we got them all. But it's like, because people think like that's what it's about, because again, especially in the NFL, if he doesn't have a Super Bowl, he was a bust. NBA.
Right,
if he doesn't have a, you know, championship, it's like, that's not it.
Yeah.
That's for the outside world to decide. But inside that locker room or inside your team, it's about those relationships. It's about becoming a better person through the sport.
Yeah. And I think it's a hard concept to kind of grasp. And I think a lot of people, it's not until you kind of go through it, because for me, I always thought that that was it. You know, it's always been about trying to reach a gold medal. And then when I got the gold medal, it was like, that didn't feel how I what I had hyped it up to be.
Right.
It took time to unpack that. But I was like, oh, no, it's definitely been about the journey, like all the moments along the way. Like that was.
So you didn't think about that when you got that silver medal? You can't tell me you wouldn't think about that gold.
Oh, when I got the silver. Yeah. This is a lesson I learned after I got the gold.
Go. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I had I thought my life was not going to be the same. I was like, I get this gold medal and like it's. 8 years I've worked so hard for this.
Right.
And then it was like, my life is exactly the same.
Let's, again, let's go. I want to dig a little bit deeper into that, because people, the track is not the NFL. It's not NBA money, right? But you guys are still putting your bodies, the same amount of risk, the same amount of work ethic.
A lot of wear and tear.
Of wear and tear, right? So again, why didn't it change? Like, why weren't the sponsorship money as big as NFL contracts? Like, I don't know.
Or NBA. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just not
a
sport that is, especially in America, that is a major sport. You know, it's, I mean, that could be a whole nother thing, just how it's packaged and how, you know, the product of it. I think I love the sport and I hope that it can elevate one day, but it's not getting that same attention and drawing, you know, in the Olympic years, it's huge, but we actually compete every year.
Right.
We have a circuit.
A lot of people don't like now. People are competing now. Like I think in February, I just talked to my guy, Trayvon. And he's racing some guy in the 60 on February 4th at the New Balance track in Boston. So I'm going there. I got to see that. It's the 60 meters. they running.
They moving.
They running. Mm-hmm. So, as you were saying, they're competing all the time.
Yeah.
I remember, like, even playing football, I've heard about the pin relays. And all everybody's like, man, you're not going to the pin relay? But I hear about it, I've never gone.
Yeah.
So that's something kind of like on my bucket list, if you will. Right. I want to go there.
Yeah, you
and
should.
See that.
Yeah. Yeah, and you should go overseas and see.
I want to do that, too.
Because there's
Is it like golf, though? Like, when you go overseas, they pay you to come over there to be in the meet?
Yeah, so for track and field athletes, you get an appearance fee, you get prize money, and then you have your major sponsors and all of that. But it's like golf or tennis, or it's circuit based. So you're kind of like on a tour.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like in Europe, they do a great job putting on a meet. You know, it's more, I feel like, kind of like tennis here, where it's an event to go to. You know, it's fun, it's entertainment, and it's a good time. So,
I wanted to go to the 2020 Olympics, but then obviously COVID happened.
Yeah.
So travel was
a problem.
You know, right.
Yeah.
So,
I wish he had been there, because it wasn't nobody was there. It was crickets in the stadium.
So was that challenging, you know, for the racers, the track athletes? How challenging was that? And I know we're going to let you go, but how challenging? I mean, is that like just training on your own, running on your own, not having, you know, the obviously the fans in the stands?
It was so bizarre. Just an odd thing. You know, you're in a stadium and you don't have the energy. You know,
it's
just.
Exactly.
They were announcing our names and I'm like, why are they even.
Right.
Like, they announce your name and
I
it's
know
just
who
like
I am.
Crickets.
Right.
Like.
So was it like the time when you guys had to rerun?
But we had the crowd. So it was
right.
So
right,
it was.
Right.
I think really you had to tap into just like your mental strength because
right,
you weren't going to feed off of anything. So, right. But yeah, it was an interesting experience.
So let me ask you, what was more bizarre, right? Racing out there for that Olympics or driving down the 405 with no traffic during COVID? Because that was the most,
when you
say the word bizarre during COVID, mm-hmm. that's what I feel. Like,
man,
that's
yeah.
the weirdest
That was
thing
probably
ever.
The only, the good part about COVID. Right. Like, getting anywhere in LA. I was
right.
Like,
in record time.
This is how it should be.
Record time.
At all times.
Yeah,
that's what's up.
That was,
man.
That was weird. I remember that to this day. I'm like, there's like literally nobody
no one's
else.
Out here.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Now, would that have made your race different if you would have ran in 2020 compared to 2022?
That's a good question. I don't know. I felt really ready in 2020. I think it even like made me more motivated, the fact that it was delayed. For me, I was coming back from having my daughter at that time.
Right,
so I
right.
just really tried to shift it. And, you know, I got another year to be stronger and,
right.
you know, just to train more. But, you know, I also got right. another year older. So.
Right, exactly. But that's you say that a year. I mean, you say that with a smile on your face, but just another year of training.
Oh, yeah.
That
was a
not,
lot.
Right. That's not easy.
Yeah.
But again, being the competitor you are, and I think the things that you've gone through to this point has prepared you for that moment. Like, that's just, it's crazy to hear you say that. Like, just to prepare another year, it's just like, okay.
Whole year.
Like, you have to reset. You know what I mean?
It was
especially
wild.
When you're mentally
yeah.
and you're physically ready to prepare.
And your yeah. body's probably used to 4 year.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
And then we had nowhere to train. I think that was the craziest
right.
part is that we were, you know, going to tracks and literally the police were coming and taking us off of the tracks. We called it like
wow.
guerrilla style training. We would just go from track to track until
jumping
we got kicked off. Yeah. And that's
so
how
you
we moved.
Couldn't get out USC and UCLA.
Oh, no, you couldn't go anywhere. So I started training. Bobby came out with his wheel and measured the streets in front of my house. And
wow.
because even though it was delayed for a year, you can't just stop, you know?
Right.
So people like so. This, I think I just seen Allison Felix on my street.
Right? Oh, yeah, they definitely.
Wow.
They just drive
yeah.
around.
So right. we just did what we had to do and
That's
just.
Funny.
But yeah, it was hard.
Yeah, we did a commercial together, by the way. I mean, that was the only time she beat me.
It was, she would walk me.
No,
nah,
it
she
was
would walk.
Just for the
she
commercial.
Would walk. No, she would walk.
It was
okay.
choreographed.
Okay, so
it was a little setup.
Yeah, it was a little setup. But I mean, I think
so.
Bro,
you're telling me you could beat Allison Felix in a race? Let's say 100, not the 40 and not the 200. But you say you beat her in 100?
I might give her a run for her money in that 100.
I'm not saying run
yeah,
for your money.
I might need like. 150.
150?
200. 200.
Yeah. 200. You
know what?
That's not even close.
No, you know what? I would try that. I would.
200?
200, yes.
What's your best time in the 100?
In the 100? 10.89.
He ain't even ran 11.89.
First of all, don't disrespect me like that. Because anybody that has seen me run,
no,
you might not be wrong, but you might not be right either.
I can tell by his gait, he's not in the tens. You're not in the tens. I promise
like,
you, you're not
bro.
In the tens. Do you know, like, is the tens?
First
fast?
Of all, Hatch, let's, no.
Ten is
no.
You're in the 10.99.
First of all.
I mean, as a woman, though.
First of all, hold on 1 second. Hold on 1 second, Allison. No. You're not finna keep disrespecting me, bro. If you're gonna do that, I'm gonna put you in the same category as Brandon Marsh. Put your money where your mouth is,
okay,
bro.
So
I'm talking 10,000. I'm taking my shades off. Put your money up.
Let me see.
Now, I ain't no let me see. You were just confident just a few minutes ago.
10,
Put your money up.
Can he run 10.9?
Put your
that's
money up.
That's the question.
Oh,
that's
yeah, I think he can run 10.9.
Put your money up. I ain't talking about her, what she think. We talking about you now.
She's
already gave it. She's already giving
you. You think you can run a 10.9?
She already said how many times she got. How many?
I do.
You know another language?
Okay.
Say yes. What other language you know?
See?
How do you spread? How do you say yes in any other language? Anybody know any other language in Japanese? How you say?
Mui.
How you say yes in?
Nino.
In Japanese, Chinese.
I
would want to hush you up, man. He can't move. He got a body.
Yeah,
he got a body of a 90 year old.
My hip is a 95 year old hip.
Hey, he look young, but that body. Oh my God, he's decrepit out of that. Allison is decrepit out of that.
It is. I can't.
Yeah, but don't get away from the bet though. Let's put it up. If you bet it, bet it.
Should I bet it, Allison? You know speed. You think
I saw it recently? I think you just ran a 40, right?
57 years old.
Yeah.
He can run a 10.9 at 57.
Okay, go against the grain.
If he trains, how long? Go against the grain if you want to. 3 months.
I mean, the longer the better.
I'll give you a month then.
I want to do it.
Give you a month.
Say no more.
He's been running now, so I've seen. I can move. He's been on the track.
It would be interesting for me because I've never. You should do it. I've never honestly been timed in 100.
Never.
I've never been timed in 100. Wow. Ever.
And again, is there a difference between hand time and?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So we're going electronic.
Yeah, you gotta be electronic.
Okay, got it.
For sure. Yeah. We all know that. Yeah, hand time and electronic time is totally different.
There it is.
But we got somebody right here that said I can do it. So, you know, I ain't gonna let her down. You know what I mean?
You gonna train her?
I ain't out there.
I ain't gonna let her down. You know what I mean? Get out the track, get out the block.
So let everybody know where they can find you on social media as well.
So I'm just at Allison Felix on Instagram, on Twitter. That's it.
There it is. The queen of speed, Allison Felix.
Yes, sir. Get your popcorn ready.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You are a true legend.
Yeah.
I wish you would have brought your gold medals and all
that. Yeah, man. We wanted to see some hard work. We've had Hall of Famers on here.
You're the first super duper star that we've had on this show.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's always the third best athlete every time we have an athlete on.
He's the slowest out of all three people up here. No, he's the fastest, oldest person up here. But in our prime, he's the third.
I'll take it. Thank you, Allison.
Thank you, guys.
Yep.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.